Today is December 24th, 2010, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 184, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, head writer. And we're doing a special Christmas episode of our podcast with our Christmas wish list for Apple. So sit back and enjoy an Apple Christmas tale.
I'm hungry. Let's go to the food court.
Hey, babe, did you finally find a parking space?
Oh, yeah, finally. It took me forever.
Oh, that's great. Hey, let's go into Crate and Barrel. There's something I want to look at.
Hi, would you like to try a summer sausage sample? Hi, would you like to try a summer sausage sample? Hi, would you like to try a summer sausage sample?
I want to go to the Disney store. And Buzz, and Flash Car, and Nemo, and Mr. Incredible, and the Electric Girl.
Excuse me, sonny. Is there a gift wrapping in this place?
Jimmy, stop touching the elves.
Boy, I can't wait to talk to Santa.
Oh, and how? Boy, oh boy, I wonder what he's going to be bringing me this year.
Well, I don't know for sure, but I bet you it'll be black. And if you lit it on fire, you get a nice hot flame.
Hey, you better take that back.
I won't do it. The nun told me you weren't a good boy this year, and you know it.
Okay, you two, you're next. Now, just tell Santa what you want, like good little boys. And remember, no pulling on Santa's beard. Santa doesn't like it when you poke him in the eye. And no, you can't feed the reindeer because they're at the North Pole.
Ho, ho, ho! Why, it's Jeff and Brian, here to tell Santa what you want for Christmas. Ho, ho, ho! Have you been good little boys this year? Santa knows.
They have not been good little boys, and I have a list here just for you, and...
Oh, ignore her, Santa. We've been good, and we have a simple list of demands. Christmas wishes?
Yeah, it's just a few simple things we're hoping for this year. Can you do it?
Ho, ho, ho! Well, I don't know yet, Brian. You haven't told me what you want. Come and sit on Santa's lap and tell him what you want.
Oh, swell.
Okay, swell.
Oof. Healthy one, Brian.
My mom says I'm just big boned.
When's the last time your mother held you on her knee? Well, never mind that. Tell Santa what you want.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want is for Apple to open up App Store requirements just a little more loosely. Seems reasonable, doesn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, actually, that does seem pretty reasonable. It's kind of tough for a lot of developers right now because they're having a really hard time figuring out how to keep in line with Apple's guidelines. And well, it's making it tough for a lot of companies to release apps that would be cool to see on the iPhone, but you can get on other platforms.
I'm a little less concerned about the travails of developers at this point, in that I think that Apple has gone a long way towards answering their questions. I'm a little more concerned about how the company balances being the gatekeeper when it comes to potentially controversial apps. Going back to the Manhattan Declaration there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, the political stuff. Political stuff of, you know, of all kinds, because that's, you know, so talking about the Manhattan Declaration, it's this anti-gay rights and anti-gay marriage and anti-abortion group that put out a manifesto basically laying out all their bigoted crap, saying that they're not bigoted. Wait.
No, I think you described it really well.
Yeah. And I happen to disagree with them, just in case anybody was a little confused on that. But I believe that they certainly have the right to express their opinions. And while Apple also has the right to decide what it does and doesn't want on the App Store, it's a tricky situation, in that Apple's reason for booting the app off the App Store was because it was offensive to large groups of people, but there's plenty of other stuff that are just as offensive to those same people that were behind that. I mean, it's such a tricky position for Apple to be in.
It is. Playing morality police on the App Store, that's got to be a headache, just no matter how you approach it.
No one wins.
No. And we also have the situation where we have magazine publishers that in their regular print publications, just total open distribution, they have at least some level of nudity.
Yeah, and like the Page Three girl from News Corp's tabloids, the
right.
Sun, and that was it Norwegian or Danish or
Swedish?
Might have been Swedish. One of those Viking countries.
We look forward to your letters.
They have a similar thing, the Page Nine girl.
Right, which has got to be better because, I mean, that's three times what Page Three is.
That's true, plus they're
they're Scandi yummy.
We'll just stop that one. Yeah. And the issue there is that it's extremely softcore pornography by American standards, but it's available on the street, in this case in both England and in somewhere in the Viking land area.
Okay, so now that raises another potential headache, which is, should Apple, if they're going to play morality police with the App Store, are they going to go with regional standards or just impose their I guess we could call it U.S. standard around the world?
Right. And again, whatever they do, they lose. Everybody loses. I mean, it's like you can't please everybody with this stuff, but Apple putting itself in the position of gatekeeper means that it sort of has to try to please everybody. And I don't think that politically they can't. They can't please everybody. You know, the far no. right well Lord. So I believe that the Manhattan Declaration certainly should have been able to have its app, just as I think that gay rights organizations should be able to have their apps as well. And but you know, I wonder. I don't really know how I feel about like the KKK. Should the KKK be able to have an app?
Now, see, that's part of the headache there, because
should some neo-Nazi organization should they be able to have an app? I mean, that's, you know, is it you know, this is where how do you win?
You can't. And at some point, okay, so like for me, I mean, the whole notion of the Ku Klux Klan is distasteful. So
for our out of country listeners,
okay. So for our out of country listeners, the Ku Klux Klan is an organization that cropped up in the United States, geez, well over 100 years ago. That was anti anything that wasn't white, Caucasian, their version of Christianity. And it led to just horrible crimes against people that didn't fit what the Ku Klux Klan liked. So you had crosses being burned in people's yards, people being lynched by angry mobs, and just
we in the States call to euphemistically these days a hate group, a bona fide hate group. So their sole existence, at least from the standpoint of most outsiders, is to espouse hate. Most, I think, neo-Nazi groups would be considered hate groups. I think that a lot of people consider the folks behind the Manhattan Declaration to be a hate group, and that's the thing. It's, you know, the difference, of course, is that is, I guess, one of degrees. And I know, by no means should we try to go too far off into just, you know, trying to figure out what constitutes a hate group, but it's just such a tricky position for Apple to be in, to be the gatekeeper, in that there are plenty of mainstream or near mainstream views that are going to piss off someone.
Right. And I don't see an easy way for Apple to create a set of guidelines for dictating morality on the App Store.
Right.
Maybe someone has a magic formula, and if so, I'd love to hear it, but
yeah, I don't think there is one on this. And yeah. So, you know, how far do they go? Do they, for instance, allow, I mean, I don't know, one thing that they could do, I suppose, is here in the U.S., they could allow any group to have an app that's not illegal. I don't know. That doesn't work. They could have a politics store.
Yeah, but
they could have an adult-only store.
Now, okay, an adult-only store, I could see that before a political store, because there's a lot of content that you and I might perceive as political, but other people might perceive it as religious, just from their perspective.
Sure.
And so then they would probably feel that their content shouldn't be restricted to the political store. If you go with an adult store, and that's a little bit broader, and then you can put content that for whatever reason is deemed to be more controversial in there. And that would still be a hard thing to define, but probably a little bit easier to get people to swallow.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, as it is right now, the folks behind the Manhattan Declaration and a lot of folks on the socially conservative side of the equation here in the States are kind of up in arms about the Manhattan Declaration being pulled, and they're leveraging Apple having done so to bring attention to the group, which is a perfectly reasonable thing to do, I think,
from their perspective. Not taking advantage of the current situation would be a poor publicity move.
Yeah, plus I think they have the right to be angry in the first place. Of course, one of the things that they did God, and this is still such a tricky situation. The app had, in addition to having the text of the Manhattan Declaration, which was again a very polite way of being I really shouldn't get off on that tangent. In addition to having the text of the Manhattan Declaration, there was all calls for action, you know, join, sign on to the declaration yourself and things like that. They also had a survey that was four questions. Do you, and I don't remember the specific wording, but basically, do you believe that marriage should be defined as being between a man and woman, or either that, or was the other way around? Whereas, if you didn't answer the way they wanted, you were given a score of being wrong. Huh. So it's not a survey; it was a test. And right. You know, I personally think that that's a pretty slimy thing to do, but whatever. I know that they resubmitted the app without that survey/test, and maybe that'll be enough to get it on. But even again, there, who's Apple to say that that's not okay?
I mean, well,
and there were plenty of, like, again, there were plenty of gay rights apps that were not pulled by Apple that are still on the Apple Store right now, and those are offensive to large groups of conservative Christians.
Yeah. So, well, okay. So you asked who is Apple to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bottom line is Apple is Apple. That's who they are to make the decision.
Right. And they do have the right to allow what they want and don't want on the store.
Right. That they are not the government. So they aren't censoring anyone.
Legal form of censorship that's prescribed by the Constitution.
Right. And okay. And so that's what I'm referring to, government censorship. So when someone says, well, I have the constitutional right to have this information out there, but Apple doesn't necessarily have to allow you to use their venue as a distribution.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's becoming so big that the problem here becomes one. This isn't like some sort of legal. There are no legal questions. Apple can boot off any app that they want to. I mean, right. That's all there is to that. The real issue is, what does Apple do when it pisses off customers? I mean, Apple is a huge company right now. A huge company right now. They cannot be in the position of alienating large swaths of customers based upon their own political views. I mean, that just doesn't really work.
Not very elegantly.
No, not very elegantly. So I think that Apple is, and you know, Apple has been tweaking the App Store. You know, they've actually made, I think, a lot of progress in making it slightly more transparent as far as developers are concerned. I think they've made strides here. They've made strides towards progress even. But I think that over the next year, we're going to have to see more strides. We're going to have to see Apple loosen the restrictions and loosen the reins a little bit more to get closer towards a viable app store where people don't get pissed off all the time.
I just don't see how they're going to be able to do it. But, Apple surprises me all the time.
It's true. They do. So it's at least it's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah. And I bet it's going to give us plenty to talk about for quite a while.
Probably.
So in that respect, Apple is giving us the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, from the standpoint of being a news magazine, yes.
Yes, yeah. Better than the Jelly a Month Club.
True.
Oh, Mom, they have Elmo. They have a green one, a red, and a blue. I want a blue. I've got cookies. A jelly bean. I want a candy cane. There's Santa Claus. I want a big owl. And a tree. Oh, look at the colors.
We hadn't waited until the last minute.
Come on, guys. I really like Hot Dog. It's where I found my inner individual.
Ho, ho, ho! Well, you posed a tricky one for Santa, but I'll have the elves start working on it right away. Now, what do you want, Jeff?
Oh, I want a second iPhone carrier in the United States.
Done! Now give Santa a hard one.
Okay, how about adding Lightpeak to Max?
Ho, ho, ho!
I think we left Santa a little stumped on that.
So he seems pretty satisfied on the second carrier. I guess that's a given, huh?
Well, you know, Santa's really good. So if anyone can make it happen, clearly it's Santa.
Clearly. But now Lightpeak, that's an interesting choice. I happen to be a fan of this idea.
Well, you know, I've been excited about Lightpeak since it was first announced, because the idea of having a single input output connector for your computer, mm-hmm. and having it fast enough so that it can handle everything for you. So all of your external hard drives, your keyboard, your mouse, your display, your audio. And to have that happening with essentially no latency.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like that idea.
Oh, it's, yeah. That's science fiction right there.
Yeah, that's science fiction. I've learned a long time ago to accept the fact that the notion of a completely wireless computer system, that's just not happening for a long time. So why not do the next best thing, which is have a screaming fast data connection, which is just one single connector. Boop, plug it in and you're done.
So, for a little background, I know we've talked about LightPeak before, but just in case, LightPeak is a technology that was or is being developed by Intel. And depending on who you believe, it was either conceived of by Apple and brought to Intel, where Apple said, please make this happen, or Intel was working on it as their own from the very beginning. We don't know which is true. But it's super exciting because, like Jeff says, it's one connector. You can basically plug everything up in series, and it has so much bandwidth that it can handle everything and then some that we do today.
I think that's an excellent way of describing it.
Yeah, and I think that it really appeals to Steve Jobs to be the first computer to come to market to support the technology. I think that definitely is within Steve's modus operandi.
Yeah, okay. You know, part of the whole Steve being the first, that's one of the reasons that that I would like to see LightPeak hit the Mac in 2011. And that's because if you look historically at what Apple has done with computer technology, they've taken ideas like USB that really weren't gaining traction. And USB is a really good technology when used for the right things. And it would not have taken off, I think, had it not been for Apple saying, all right, so we're just dumping all of these old interfaces and moving on to something new. You know, they got rid of the old serial ports. They got rid of SCSI. In favor of FireWire.
Yep.
And they got rid of the floppy drive. And you know,
and they're currently in the process of getting rid of CDs.
They're getting rid of CDs. And they were one of the companies that was a strong push into the wireless networking arena.
Right. And so they've done all these things and popularized them, and the rest of the PC industry has followed behind. And for that reason, I think that it behooves Intel to let Apple be the first to bring LightPeak to market as well. Now, the thing about LightPeak is that it's not, that we know of, necessarily ready.
Yeah, so Santa will have to get his elves on that part.
Yes. Yes, yeah. He should send some elves to Palo Alto.
Right. Now, assuming that Apple, Intel, and Santa can get LightPeak together in time to put in computers in 2011, it's not like we'll have to start over with all of our devices, which is kind of what us early adopters had to do when USB and FireWire came around. And that's because you can get adapters that allow you to use your FireWire and USB devices that you already have
right
through that LightPeak connector. So it's not as potentially expensive or painful a transition as we might have dealt with in the past.
That is true. So all told, I think that assuming that LightPeak is ready to come to market, I think that we will see Macs with this year, and I think that we're going to see Macs that have this and nothing else.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. I don't
know, there actually may still be sound ports and microphone ports.
Yeah, maybe. But they don't need to be there.
And if it's a Mac Pro, they'll probably still have FireWire. For Mac Pro, I think there could be some legacy support, but not for iMacs. So I think iMacs will just be LightPeak only, and I think that we'll probably see MacBook Pros that are LightPeak only as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That seems more plausible, and keeping what we'll call now legacy ports on the Mac Pro does make sense, and that's something Apple has done in the past.
Yes. That's true. There were. I think wasn't there? Did the first G3, did the blue G3 Mac Power Mac have SCSI?
I can't remember. It had a SCSI card.
Did it?
Well, actually, that might have been a build-to-order option, but it did have an ADB port.
No.
Yes. Now, the reason it had the ADB port, do you remember that really big-ass color sync display Apple made?
Yes.
It was like a 20-inch CRT thing.
21-inch. I had one.
Okay. Well, do you remember there was a ADB cable dangling off the back of that?
No, I don't remember that, but I believe you.
There was, and the reason that was there was so that you plug in your monitor into the video port, and then you plug in the ADB cable into that port, and the monitor would talk to your computer, and so it could color calibrate itself on the fly. So you never had to worry about it. Once your initial calibration was done, it would adjust for the changes in the display over time, and it was just a really fantastic idea. And if you didn't want to use the color calibration part, well, just plug in your extended keyboard and your traditional ADB mouse, and away you went.
Right. Maybe we should have asked for Apple to pay attention to color sync again.
Oh, that would have been way better. Although this would have turned into a substantially longer episode because that's I would true. Have ended up on my soapbox for a long time.
That's true.
So, okay, so since Santa's here with us, maybe he's paying attention and we can get some better color sync support thrown into our stocking. Yeah, I'd be totally cool with that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Look at that cute outfit!
Justin Bryan. I split my pants.
Howard, I can't believe how far out you parked. You should have driven around longer. You know how much my bunions kill me, especially this time of year. Oh!
I'm a bad person.
I forgot the damn list.
That was my fault.
Stop, Drake. Would you pick up the pace, please?
I'm
stop looking in the window.
I'm sorry.
Here, hold my purse.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, I didn't realize you two were going to be so verbose. Look, I got a line out the door, and you two are just yakking away.
Sorry, Santa. It's what we do.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho! I know that, Brian, but we've got to wrap this up. How about you tell Santa one more thing, and then we let the next boys and girls come and visit with me?
Oh, I've got an idea. How about have Apple buy Dropbox, which would give us a really great file storage in the cloud for Mobile Me and a better way for managing file transfers with our iPhones and iPads.
Now, I like that idea a lot.
So do I. That's why I totally took what should have been a gift request for you for myself and toss that in there.
Yeah, that's quite all right. So, all right, well, why don't we tell the other boys and girls what Dropbox is, just in case?
All right. So Dropbox is an online file storage service that works really well because it creates a folder on your Mac or if you have friends that are using Windows, on Windows as well, and you put files into your Dropbox folder, and when you have an internet connection, those files are automatically synchronized with your Dropbox internet server space. And any other computers or other devices you have that can connect to your Dropbox account automatically have all of those files. You don't have to do anything to make it happen. And if you're uploading files or working with files that are on your Dropbox account and you make changes, instead of having to re-upload the entire file, Dropbox can actually just push the changes from one location to another. So it's a really cool and easy-to-use system for making sure all of your files are where you need them, and it works far better than anything Apple has for getting files onto your iPad, your iPhone, or your iPod Touch.
I definitely agree with that last part. It is hands down the best way to use and access and move files to and from your iPad and iPhone. In particular, I particularly use it on my iPad because that's where I'm more likely to be opening files to begin with.
Yeah, I use it on my iPad all the time, and There's a really nice Dropbox application that Dropbox makes.
Right.
But I find that I use GoodReader more often to access my Dropbox files from my iPad because it's really elegant with the way it can hand off files to other applications.
And Dropbox is basically released an API to developers so that they can add Dropbox support to their own apps.
Which is great.
Which is how that works with GoodReader.
Right. And I'm a big 1Password fan. They added Dropbox support directly into their Mac app, their iPhone, and their iPad app. So my Dropbox folder is now holding my 1Password database. So when I make a change anywhere, it's just pushed out to all my devices. I don't have to worry about regular syncing.
I have to do that.
Oh, yeah. It's
I have
fantastic.
To do. Why am I not doing that now? Why, as we speak, why is that not happening or having already had happened? Because that's awesome.
It really is awesome. And what you need to do to make it happen, I mean, it's all right there inside the Dropbox application. Start on your Mac and do it there.
Wait, what happens though if you don't have a connection to the interwebs?
If you don't have a connection to the interwebs, then the changes that you make will get synchronized the next time you have an internet connection.
Oh, duh. Yeah. I knew that because I use Dropbox.
you were just asking me so that people that didn't understand.
Yes. I was being the straight man, not a dumb butt.
Yeah. And you make such an awesome straight man.
Mm-hmm.
Although you're drag queen. Hot.
You know it. And so another thing that we use Dropbox for all the time is for anything that we're handing off to each other. We use it at TMO all the time for all kinds of documents that we want to have everyone have access to, everyone in the company to have access to. Jeff and I use it to exchange files for when we do the podcast because Jeff's in Colorado and I'm in California.
Right.
And so in addition to its awesomeness when it comes to getting stuff on and off an iPad, it has a lot of practical uses for computers too. And I mean, all told, it's a fantastic service. It's the kind of thing that you would have expected that Apple had a hand in to begin with.
Right. And its superiority to iDisk is even more glaring, simply because when you see how Dropbox works and then you look at the way iDisk works in MobileMe, you're thinking, really? Why didn't Apple do what Dropbox is doing in the first place?
Right. And so there have been lots of people that, of course, have wanted Apple to buy Dropbox. And, you know, the fact that they haven't is interesting. Of course, you know, for all we know, they've tried and were rebuffed. We don't actually know. But I wonder if Apple isn't just busy trying to copy the functionality.
Oh, they may very well be doing that. And we know, even though there's a lot of people that complain about MobileMe and they think it's a ripoff, Apple is always working to improve it. I'm a big MobileMe fan.
Me too.
Yeah, and I had planned on buying MobileMe at a discount, but forgot to double check and make sure that I wasn't set to auto renew. So I ended up paying my $100 just recently to renew my subscription. And actually, I'm okay with that.
And you should explain the discount thing.
Okay, yeah. So if you go to Deal Brothers,
Or Amazon,
Amazon,
we'll put a link up in the show notes.
Yeah, and search for MobileMe.
Well, we'll put a direct link in the show notes.
Yeah.
To MobileMe on Amazon.
Yeah. Okay.
With
Sorry.
Our affiliate account.
See, I got sidetracked when you're saying that because I was actually looking over the Victoria's Secret here in the mall, and I'm sorry, man.
I told you, Jeff, there is nothing for you there.
Oh, but there is.
So we'll put a direct link to MobileMe at Amazon. The point is that you can buy it at Amazon at a discount and then apply it. Once you get the package from Amazon, you open it up and there's I think there's a code or something that's inside the box, and you can then apply that to your MobileMe account, and it's cheaper than what Apple sells it for.
Substantially.
Substantially. I mean,
you can save $40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that's even what you still were trying to do, and you didn't, and you're still okay with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that $100, that's $100 well spent for me.
Yeah. I think that MobileMe is a great service, too. To me, it's actually worth the price of admission just for keeping all of my contacts synced without me messing with anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's alone, if I didn't get anything else with it, I'd probably be pay it just for that. But, the mail service. Anyway, we don't need to go off too far.
No, we don't. But I have to ask, does it strike anyone else as creepy that this nun really does follow me everywhere?
Look, I don't know what you two got going on, but it's really none of our business. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, look, you two, you got to get going or I'm going to call my security.
God, this happens to us every year.
I know it does. It does. Well, Santa has been a pretty good host, though.
Ho, 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 you know it, Brian.
It tickles me when he laughs like that.
I think it's his beard.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah. So,
in the meanwhile, we probably cut off all circulation to his legs. We should probably get up and wish all of our readers and listeners a very Merry Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, or if you don't pretend to celebrate Christmas, whatever midwinter festival works for you, works for us too. And we want to thank everybody for a good year. Do you think will we actually manage to do a New Year's podcast? I kind of doubt it.
You know, we can try, but I think promising to do one. I mean, let's face it. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking about us here. So we will wish everybody a happy new year, too. And thanks for putting up with another one of our productions. We had fun. We had fun doing it. And thanks to Vern and Gloria and Erica.
Oh, yeah, and Erica and Brady.
For contributing to our little
for hanging out at the mall with us.
Yeah, for hanging out at the mall with us, yeah. And
that was a great segue.
Thank you.
Awesome. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/TMOBrian. And if you want to send us that feedback that Jeff mentioned, you should probably send it to acm@macobserver.com. Remember that our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom. Do we have any bass this week? Well, anyway, if we had bass,
it would be by Boom.
It would be by Boom. Our sponsor this month was Smile Software and Disc Label. And that's all for this week.
And you made it through the whole year, so why not stay subscribed?
Exactly. We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.